What is up, everybody, and welcome to a wonderful week of Locked On Vikings. It's going to be free agency all week. Most of the week will be occupied by tampering just because of the days of the week this happens to fall on, but we will talk about all of the crazy stuff that's about to go down over the next few days. As always, I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL, and hey, go follow the show at Locked On Vikings. And as always, if you are one of those people that listen in your car on your commute, or if you just don't like digging through podcast apps on your phone, you can always ask any smart device to play podcast Locked On Vikings, and it'll bring you right to the most recent episode. So, full disclosure, as of this recording, we've only had a slight trickle of Vikings free agency news. I'm recording this on Sunday night, March 10th. So as you're listening to this, there will probably be news that I am unable to talk about because I am not from the future. Whatever is going on in your world, future listener, I will talk about it on the earliest show that I possibly can. But for now, all I can really do is more content kind of priming you for what's about to happen. So let's take this opportunity to kind of set up what's about to go down and talk about some of the pitfalls that we're always going to run into and some of the things that, you know, I see every year and some of the thoughts that I have every year, and especially one with the Vikings. Why are they dragging their feet on everything? I'm seeing this all over social media. I see it all over social media every year. The Vikings tend to be a slower organization when it comes to free agency, and that doesn't mean that they aren't making high priority moves or that they're less aggressive or less active. It just means that the news comes in a little bit more slowly and they're a little more deliberate with their actions. It's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. It's just kind of changes the way that we consume that news. And I wanted to talk about kind of why that is and what that means for the actual organization. But first, let's actually talk about some of the news that's going to go down. So since we last spoke, we talked last week about an incident with Rock Thomas in his apartment, getting caught with a whole bunch of marijuana, felony amount, and we'll see what ends up happening to his NFL career. But it looks like there was another Viking in the room with him, and that deserves mentioning, though we won't go too in depth with it. An HJH with the same birthday as our very own Holton Hill. Yeah, the guy with all the weed problems at Texas was also noted to be in the room with Rock Thomas. None of that weed was said to be his. He wasn't charged with anything. He was just mentioned in the police report. Like, also this guy was there. That doesn't necessarily mean that the NFL will do anything because there were no formal charges, there's no real scandal, just being in proximity to it isn't really the same thing as possessing it or smoking it. That said, the room smelled like weed, Holton Hill failed a million drug tests at Texas, and it's pretty easy to kind of put two and two together here. It's going to be interesting to see what the NFL does here, because they could just spring a drug test on Holton Hill right now and suspend him, because he'd almost certainly fail it. But if they don't do that, what's the punishment for being around a guy who smoked weed or around a guy who possessed weed? It'll be interesting to see what they do. But we're not going to go too in-depth into that because we have some actual on-field stuff to discuss. So the first thing I want to go over is with Kyle Rudolph. There's been a little bit of a saga. It was reported last week, and I even talked about it on this show, that the Vikings were trying to get him to restructure, try to work out a deal there, but it was moving slowly. That report has kind of been denied and debunked. Andrew Kramer was tweeting late on Sunday night about a piece where he published. He actually got a quote from Kyle Rudolph that said, A, no, they haven't approached me about a pay cut or a restructure at all. And B, he said something to the effect of, like, why would I not restructure? It's amazing. You get more guaranteed money and you help the team, which is kind of a funny take. I agree that restructures can help the player greatly because of the guarantees, but I love that he threw in, oh, and you can help the team get under the cap. Like, we all know the reason you would say yes to a restructure. It's for the guarantees and the security for you and your family. Like, you don't need to play coy about it, but I guess you have to say the right thing in front of the press. But that was one of the ways that we talked about possible, you know, cap savings, which sends a few signals. For one, it sends a signal that the Vikings very highly value Kyle Rudolph. And I've talked a whole bunch about how I think that the Vikings could get better at tight end. They don't agree with me. That's fine. But it also means that the Vikings are not going to be that desperate about the cap. They know what kinds of moves that they intend on making. They know, hey, you know, we're going to have to spend about this much getting a guard. We're going to have to spend about this much, you know, getting a linebacker. They go into free agency having those numbers at least ballparked out and planned, you know, pretty meticulously. So they know how much cap they intend to clear, and if cutting a guy like Kyle Rudolph, somebody who could have been cut and replaced more cheaply, isn't on the table for them, to me that signals that they don't have plans to go all out in free agency. And that shouldn't surprise you considering their cap situation and the state of the roster right now with a lot of veterans and a lot of people under contract. They're probably just going to try to sustain what they can, replace the holes that got there, and hopefully get a little offensive line help. I don't expect the Vikings to be that active in free agency this year. That might be really disappointing to you because there's a lot of really fun players and everybody gets really, you know, enamored by the eye candy. And we're going to talk about all that a little bit later. But for now, just looking at that Kyle Rudolph move, like if they don't need to clear the cap that Kyle Rudolph would clear, that tells me that their plan can only be so major. But that's all just tea leaf reading and my own interpretation of a situation that I don't really have any more information about than anybody with a Twitter account. I don't have sources or anything like that, so don't take that as fact. This is just me reading the tea leaves. I also learned something. This isn't really news. This is just something that I've been speaking incorrectly about for the last like couple months, and I want to correct the record. Andrew Sendejo's contract would not be a cut. I didn't realize this. I didn't look into it. But right now, actually, Andrew Sendejo is entering an option. So the way that this works is that when he signed his deal in, I think it was 2016, the team basically said, okay, we're going to give you 3 years at $4 million a year, and then we're going to have an option to extend it if we want. But if we don't, then the contract just ends right there. And that's different than a cut. And a really important distinction is that when it's an option and you just don't pick up the option, that counts as an expiring contract for the compensatory pick formula. That formula only counts for free agents whose contract expired and for signing free agents whose contract expired. So a cut, for example, like Eric Weddle, who was released and re-signed, that doesn't count toward the comp pick formula. The Ravens are not going to get a comp pick for that, and the Rams are not going to have the Eric Weddle signing count against their compensatory picks. The same would be true if Andrew Sendejo were in the middle of a contract and the Vikings just released him and terminated it early, but because declining an option essentially means, no, we just chose not to add to it, rather than we chose to take a contract of one length and shorten it, those are different. And so that means that Andrew Sendejo, if he gets a big enough contract, would actually contribute to the Vikings compensatory pick formula, and that could mean like an extra draft pick. That's a pretty big distinction. So I apologize for being wrong about that. I just didn't ever really think to look into it. But it also sounds like the team is trying to keep him if they can for cheap. They'll decline the option if they can't figure something out. But, you know, I've talked about it before on the show, you know, that safety market is really, really loaded. And that might mean that it'll drag its feet and people will kind of wait for each other to react. And that means that Andrew Sendejo, all of this is really bad for Andrew Sendejo, and not entering that market might be a good thing for him. Even if it means he just has to like wait out a year on a kind of crappy contract and then he can go hit the market, that might be better for him. And maybe the Vikings can work out a deal there. So that's just a little bit of the rumor stuff. I'm going to step away to a quick ad break, and then we'll talk a little bit more about kind of the pitfalls of free agency, especially on social media. So I'll talk to you guys in a second. Okay, we are back. So let's address the elephant in the room when it comes to this time of year. And this happens every single year, at least every year that I have like seriously tried to cover the Vikings or even just been really plugged in on social media. This has always been a thing, especially now that there's a legal tampering period. So just for a little background, if you're new to the NFL or if you just aren't really familiar with the way that free agency was, so teams can't talk to players until the new league year. That's kind of a rule, right? Like if the Vikings were in the playoffs and they had a pending free agent, you know, a team that's not in the playoffs can't like suddenly start bringing that guy in for interviews, right? And so they make you wait until the league year turns over, which will happen on this Wednesday, March 13th, and anything else is illegal. It's tampering. If Rick Spielman texts Roger Saffold and says, hey, you should come to Minnesota, winky winky, that would get the Vikings in a lot of trouble, and they'd probably lose a draft pick for that. It's against the rules. So the thing is, that's really hard to enforce. Like, how do you know who's texting who? Or you have an assistant to text somebody else's agent's assistant, or you kind of have somebody operate in the shadow. It's like a really easy rule to get around. And so to help curb this, the NFL kind of said, you know, all right, you can drink, but do it in my basement. And they made the first 2 days, or the 2 days right before the league year turns over, which would be the 11th and the 12th, a legal tampering period. You get 48 hours before the actual start of the new league year where you can talk. You can't sign any dotted lines. No contracts can actually be signed, but you can put in place handshake deals and verbal agreements, and you can start to negotiate and kind of get a head start on things. So that's what we're about to enter. And if you're listening to this, you might already be in it. It's going to happen at, I believe, 2 p.m. Central. Teams are going to start talking to each other, and this always happens. Somebody strikes a deal right away, and it's just somebody who already, maybe there was a little tampering going on, or somebody who just, there's a great fit, and we're going to do it, and here's the deal, and we're going to strike it right away. Agents are working tirelessly, teams are working tirelessly, they want to get these deals done fast, and somebody is going to do that. And it's probably not going to be the Vikings, because they're a more deliberate, and you know, they're an organization that picks their spots, and they don't rush into free agency trying to get guys as fast as possible. And you know what? It might be an offensive lineman. It might be a linebacker. It might be a defensive tackle. Somebody that you wanted might be off the market before you hear a lick of Vikings news. And I have this thought every year, and you probably will too, and you're going to panic. And you're going to say, why is this front office sitting on their hands? What are they doing? You're going to freak out. We've already seen some of this, even in, you know, they're not legally allowed to talk to anybody right now, and the draft hasn't happened, and there's all kinds of stuff, but we're already seeing people kind of vilify the Vikings front office by saying, like, why are they sitting on their hands? You know, the Browns just traded away Kevin Zeitler, the Raiders just traded away Kelechi Osemele. Those are two good, great guards that the Vikings really could have used. Why weren't they in on those deals? And I wanted to address that point because, in my opinion, that's kind of insane. For one, we don't actually know if the Vikings were sitting on their hands in those deals or not. They could have been on the phone with Cleveland as well, trying to work out Kevin Zeitler deals, and then it turned out that the Browns just wanted Olivier Vernon more than they wanted Everson Griffin or whoever. That could absolutely be the case. So when you start to panic during the tampering period, remind yourself, just because something hasn't been reported doesn't mean it isn't happening. The team and the front office and all of the scouts and GMs and cap people and negotiators, they are working tirelessly. This I can guarantee you. On all 32 teams, they are working tirelessly to try to work out the deals they want. But also know that the Vikings have a plan. And just because one guy isn't a part of it doesn't mean that somebody else won't be. The Vikings not trading for Kevin Zeitler does not mean the Vikings don't care about getting a guard. It just means that trading for Kevin Zeitler wasn't the particular path that they chose to do that. Maybe they're targeting somebody in the draft. Maybe they plan to blow somebody away in free agency that they want, you know, maybe they want Roger Saffold more. That's a defensible position. But we shouldn't argue and litigate what their position is before we know what it is. We know what their plan isn't, but we don't know what their plan is. And that is a reason to kind of hold back and say, all right, let's wait for them to do it. Now, if their plan, if we get all the way into August and their plan was Tom Compton, yeah, all right, now we can freak out. But let's wait until we know that to be true rather than getting angry about what we think might happen. And let's talk about those two trades, because there's pretty good reasons not to get involved in both of them. For one, the Vikings, there's been rumors that the Vikings are trying to shop around Everson Griffin and they might move him to save some cap space. But that's the thing. They're doing that to try to save cap, to try to clear cap space so that they can, you know, acquire the proper people. They might intend to go after a guard who they think will be cheaper than Kevin Zeitler or Kelechi Osemele. Those guys are really, really expensive. And, you know, we've spent basically the whole offseason talking about the cap strain that the Vikings are under and the different things they're going to have to do to get rid of that space. If you go after one of those high-priced guards, not only are you giving up one of your own players, but you're making that problem worse. And that's not to say it wouldn't be worth it. Maybe it is. Maybe the guard position is just so much of a big deal for this team that that's worth it. But you have to at least understand that what if you could get a player that they think is of similar quality and not deal with all of those costs? Their plan could be to do that. and there's really no way for us to know one way or the other. Now, the Osamelli trade is even worse because the Vikings probably would have needed him to restructure for that deal to fit at all. His contract is huge. The Vikings got outbid for him in 2016, and I think a lot of people saw that and saw it not as a financially prudent move, but as a lack of commitment to fixing the offensive line. You know, they thought, you know, no, just go spend on it. It's a problem. Go fix it. Stop being cheap about it. Rather than, yeah, that's an inefficient deal, and I'm going to pass on inefficient deals, even if they would fill a need or whatever. I think a lot of people saw that, and they really hooked on to Kelechi Osemele as like the key to fixing the Vikings. And so when we learned that he was on the trade market and we learned that the Vikings weren't the team that won him, I think a lot of fans see that as Rick Spielman still not taking the problem seriously. And I just find that insane. I'm sorry. It is just wacky to me because there's a bunch of other guard options out there in both free agency and the draft. And it seems really irresponsible to take this inaction as a signal that other inaction will follow. And if other inaction does follow, then let's get mad, but let's do it then, after we know that the plan was bad, not just guessing that the plan will be bad and then getting mad about our guess. Now, with Osamelli, he would have likely had to take a contract restructure to come here. And we kind of just saw this dynamic with the Antonio Brown trade, but like flipped. So the Raiders traded for Antonio Brown and they had to pay him more. So that contract for the Raiders was worse than it was for the Steelers, essentially meaning that Antonio Brown on the Raiders, because of his contract, is a less efficient asset. And because he's a less efficient asset, the trade compensation goes down. It went down to a third and a fifth from the like first round pick that was reported earlier in the week to be his compensation. So if the Vikings traded for Osamelli, the opposite would be true, because we would have to restructure his contract to make it fit, almost certainly. So A, if he's not willing to do that, then it's off the table anyways, and there's nothing the Vikings can do about it. But B, it probably means that because the Vikings are requiring that restructure, Osamelli would be a more efficient asset here than he is in Oakland, and that means that the Vikings would have to pay more in draft compensation. And they probably couldn't. So, like, if the Vikings matched the same offer that the Jets offered, he's going to the Jets still because he doesn't have to restructure to go there. All these things need to be taken into account. You don't know what happened on the phone lines, and you don't know. We only know what was reported, and all that is what was leaked. So we're going to get into kind of the advantages of being this deliberate and being this slow and kind of why the Vikings choose to do it. Because it might baffle you, right? Why aren't you scrambling like everybody else to get the best players? But that's not really how it works. But I'm going to step away to a quick ad break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about like the cost benefit of being that slow. So I'll see y'all in a minute. Okay, we're back. So let's talk about being slow in the offseason, being a deliberate and methodical organization. And I'm framing it that way because I think it's unfair to say that they're like dragging their feet or sitting on their hands. And I think mostly just because it bothers me, because it's very clear that these guys like work their butts off and they work late into the night and everything, and acting like they're being lazy about it, I think, is just disingenuous. You know, we can criticize their decision making, but I think once it gets into that kind of personal thing, you know, I'd rather frame it a different way. But there are, you know, kind of advantages to disadvantages. Like, if you are a methodical organization like the Vikings with a plan, you don't get to get into sweepstakes like Antonio Brown. And regardless of the merits, or if you wanted them, or if the contract would have worked out, you know, that doesn't matter. Like, even if Antonio Brown was worth the contract or worth the draft picks, and the Vikings, like, if all of that stuff was out of the way, the Vikings still wouldn't really be the kind of organization to go after it, because they have their plan. And they've had that kind of plan for years. They already have their cap mapped out years in advance. They know exactly what they're going to try to do. They know exactly who they're going to target and how they're going to try to do things. They don't just hop onto whatever opportunities come their way. They see it all in a much bigger picture. But it means you do miss out on kind of those like unplanned opportunities sometimes. But waiting does have its benefits. Like, the Vikings could have cut, say, Mike Remmers already. They couldn't have cut Andrew Sandejo. They'll have to wait till Wednesday and actually make that like a declining of an option. So they won't even be able to release him during the tampering period or anything. But we can kind of pencil in that cap as cleared until it actually becomes official. unless, you know, Anderson Dejo decides to take a huge pay cut and basically be a backup safety. That would also be amazing. But say, you know, Mike Remmers, they could have cut him and cleared that cap space. Other teams are doing it already. You know, the Jags have cut people. The Raiders have been making all kinds of cap moves. The Browns and Giants have been making cap-related moves. So why aren't the Vikings? Well, now they get to sit back and watch what everybody else is doing. Think about if they had, say, Anderson Dejo wasn't an option thing, and you could just cut him for dead money, and it would be the same as if you did it, you know, 2 days away from the start of free agency. And say they did cut him, and then they look out and they see Landon Collins hit the market, and they see Eric Weddle hit the market, and they see, like, all these other safeties hit the market, and Anderson Dejo is in a crappy situation, and maybe he wants to come back to the Vikings, but the Vikings have released him. That ship has sailed, and now you lose out on the chance to maybe handle that problem a little bit better. And this isn't necessarily a point about what the best way to handle Anderson Dejo is, but the point is, when you have options, you can usually trust yourself to select the best one. And if waiting gives you more options at the cost of virtually nothing, I mean, in 2 weeks from now, we're not going to be talking about this anymore. Gathering that kind of information and waiting for things to play out really helps. For example, look at the edge rushing market. Right now, the Vikings, it's rumored that they're trying to shop Everson Griffin around. Nothing has gotten done. Dante Fowler just re-signed. He won't hit the market. Anthony Barr is looking to be one of the better edge players on the market. He's not even an edge player. There is not a lot out there on the market, and it's kind of a seller's market for edge rushers, which is great for the free agent edge rushers, but it's also great for teams like the Vikings who are trying to trade someone. Now, the Chiefs just failed to trade someone. They added Justin Houston to the market. He plays in a different system than Everson Griffin. But say you're a team looking for an edge rusher and you say, all right, we don't want old Justin Houston. Anthony Barr doesn't fit. What do we do? Everson Griffin trade might look really good. And you might get more for that trade than you would have before the edge market has kind of taken the shape that it's taken. So it makes sense to wait and see if the way that free agency is going and the way that the market is going helps you and makes your assets look more valuable. You want to sell them at the peak of their value, not just as soon as you can. And one more point on this before I wrap it up for the day and get out of your way so that you can enjoy the crazy flurry of tampering news that's going to come. The Vikings are definitely doing stuff, and they're probably negotiating a lot with their own players. It sounds like the rumors sound like they're trying to negotiate with guys like Sheldon Richardson. They're trying to figure out this tender deal with Anthony Harris. You know, they're trying to process all that stuff. And so I think there's a principle that's very important. And it's just the whole lesson of this episode. And I've said it a bunch of times, but I'm going to say it again. Evaluate teams on what they do, not on what they decline to do. Because 9 times out of 10, when a team declines to do anything, and this extends beyond the Vikings, when they decline to do something, it's because they think they have a better idea in mind. So let's figure out what that idea is, and then we'll evaluate that idea, because that's the thing that they actually did. And that doesn't mean that that thing is automatically good. They might have a really stupid plan. But in free agency and in a league like the NFL, there's 1,000 different ways to attempt to solve a problem, and it's a very, very complex web of decisions that need to be made. The one that's hitting the news right now is never the only option, and the Vikings know that, and the other 31 teams know that, and it probably behooves us to keep that in the back of our minds while we watch this flurry of news unfold. So just, you know, when you're thinking, why are the Vikings moving so slow? What are they doing? Just think to yourself, in a week from now, the narrative is going to be something else. And we don't know what that is yet, but we'll talk about it plenty when we get there. So that is going to do it for me on today's episode of Locked On Vikings. Hopefully we'll have a whole bunch more to talk about tomorrow after we've got like most of a day of tampering under our belt. And we can kind of talk about the things the Vikings have done then. But for now, there's not too much yet, just a slow trickle of rumors here and there, but it's going to be an awesome week. Can't wait to discuss all this free agency stuff with you, and then afterwards we can really focus our attention to the draft. It's going to be a great time on this podcast, so thank you all so much for listening and sticking around. You can always follow the show at Locked On Vikings on Twitter. You can find me at Luke Braun NFL on Twitter. Remember to ask your smart device, you know, play podcast Locked On Vikings, helps you out in the car, and I hope that we'll have something really exciting to talk about in the coming days. So thank you all for listening, and as always, Skol.